Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's great to have you with us today. We mentioned Penny Hain liking on the Steve Jones Show Facebook page. Tim Musser. Susan Goldlang, Joy Riddell, Fred Lawrence, Lindsay Bauer. Thanks so much. All recent likes. Long list of them, too. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Oh, boy. It's, as soon as we included all of Sean Carey's friends, they just started rolling in droves. Guess we have to thank you.
Not a problem. Time now. Not a problem.
Anytime, my friend.
That's
anytime.
Right. That's right.
Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
The right-hander coming across the blue line, coming towards the net, makes a move, and he scores to beat Chad Johnson. Extra point to Pittsburgh. The Penguins win this hockey game. Your final score, as Elvis has just left the building, the Penguins 5 and Buffalo 4.
Down 3-1 in that game. Penguins then went ahead 4-3. Buffalo came back, tied them. Phil Kessel was the one who scored that goal in the shootout. The call of Mike Lang on the Penguins radio network. And Mike's been a guest a couple different times on our show. It's always great to have him on board. Still to come, John Wehner, final half hour on spring training down in Florida. Well, let's bring in Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, to talk some Penn State football now. Frank, as always, it is great to hear you. I know the media's going to get a chance here this afternoon for a bit to watch summer practice. So what are some things that interest you right now?
Well, I guess everybody's talking about the offense, you know, the new offense. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much we're really going to get a chance to be able to evaluate it even after the blue-white game. I think it's a step-by-step process, but that's exciting to talk about. I think if you're looking at maybe individuals or something, I would be kind of thinking, well, you know, what's a guy like Nick Scott going to look like since he's moving positions, moving from offense to defense? You hear that he's doing pretty well with that switch. Maybe the blue-white game, you get a chance to see him play cornerback and see maybe, hey, is that guy going to be able to contribute right away? Somebody like him and Koa Farmer, I don't know, some of the younger guys, but the guys that have a chance to play maybe big roles for the first time, those would be some of the guys, you know, that I might be looking at.
Right. I mean, no question. And of course, everybody's going to take a long, hard look at the quarterbacks as,
sure,
as to how they're doing when it's all said and done. The slowly but surely, James Franklin's total imprint in the program starting to happen, because slowly but surely all the recruits are going to be in the program that are going to be his. Now, he's not there yet. What are your thoughts on that kind of progression? Because they're trying to come out of something that a lot of people think is actually very difficult to come out of.
Well, yeah, and I think people want it to go faster, and I think that until, like you mentioned, he gets all of his guys at key positions with some depth behind them that are his guys, it's going to be hard to have continuity. It's going to be hard to have, I think, consistency. And I think, like you said, he's getting there. And I think, you know, a real big key is, I think it appears that he made three really good hires in the offseason, new coaches. And especially a lot of the focus has been on offense. And I think Matt Limegrover, Joe Moorhead, they're not big names, but I think they have everything to really put Penn State headed in the right directions for some different reasons. But I think those are great hires. I think they'll make James look good.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that they're moving forward with that. There's still a couple spots that on this team have some depth issues. One of them is linebacker. How do you view the linebacking spot for Penn State at this particular time? Because, look, it used to be where Jack Ham and I would go to a practice, and I've mentioned this several times before, and you look at the third team guys and say, wow, down the road, they're going to be pretty good. And right now, there's a little bit of a fight to see who's in back of that first group.
Oh, yeah, and I think, you know, that sanctions hurt the offensive line recruiting, linebacker, defensive tackle. Those are three of the positions that don't have as much depth.
Right.
Linebacker, I would think the key would be, what can they get out of Manny Bowen and Jake Cooper, two young guys with a lot of potential? Can those guys, I mean, they played a little bit last year, but you could tell there's only so much they could do.
Right.
How big of a leap can they make? You know, what kind of shape is Naeem Mortman in coming back? To me, that you have the experienced guy, the focus on him, the two young guys, the focus on him. I think some of the guys in the middle, you kind of know what you're getting. It's going to be the other guys.
Right, and they were supposed to redshirt last year, Bowen and Cooper. I mean, the day before the Temple game, they were both doing non-travel workouts and weren't, they really got thrown into a pretty tough spot right out of the gate. That does make a difference. Who are a couple of guys, veterans, that you are looking at, Frank, that you would say, okay, stalwarts, can count on them, and you know, and have a chance to get even better?
Oh, well, I mean, guys that I expect, you would expect to have big years, guys you've seen already produce, would be, you know, Deshaun Hamilton and Chris Godwin have to be leaders. There's so much potential at wide receiver. Those two guys have to, you know, continue to produce. Deshaun at kind of a new role, I think, wide receiver. I mean, Mike Gesicki's a guy I'm looking at. He's a veteran now.
Yeah.
Tons of talent, just hadn't been able to put it together in games. And they need him to do that at a tight end, because there's not much of any experience there at tight end. And he has such potential. And, if you know, he's in such a tough position. And I think if he takes it the right way, all the criticism and tough times will help him down the road more than it'll hurt him if he just sticks with it, because he looks like he just has a bunch of potential. And I think he's a guy that they need to really help out the quarterbacks.
How important a year do you think this is for a guy like Marcus Allen? Because he's about to be a junior here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he might be one of those guys who played hurt.
He
was able to play, but not play to his potential. So what, yeah, it's a swing year for him. I think he's a guy that, is he going to become a great Penn State player, or is he going to be a good Penn State player? And I think we've seen guys at that juncture before. I think that's a really good point. Where is he going in his development? Because, you know, Bob Schuch talked about how made him sound like he's going to become an All-American. Well, here's where he's going to have to prove that, I think, this year. You know, or is he just going to be a good player?
Another guy I'd throw into that category, and I think he has a chance to be really good this year, Saeed Blacknall. What are your thoughts on him?
You know, I don't know. It's a really good question. I hear how fast he is. I've seen some of the big plays, but I, you know, it makes you wonder, well, is he not getting it done in practice, that he doesn't have more opportunities, or is there something else? I mean, obviously, it'll be interesting to see how things look now. He's got new quarterbacks. Maybe there's going to be a bigger chance for him to contribute early in games and more consistently. I mean, he's the one to watch, because the two older guys, you know what they can do. And I think everybody's focusing on the other two really young guys, the big guys.
Charles and Johnson.
Where does Saeed fit in? Right. I mean, is he going to be a guy that is going to be your 15 catch a year guy who makes seven big plays, or is he really going to step up into that, in that, you know, I can count on him role? Interesting.
Right. And that's something I think to watch for as time goes. The kicking game is obviously going to be an interesting part of this, but let's start on a guy that we actually saw last year. What did you think of watching Tyler Davis when he got his opportunity last year?
I think he gives them security, is maybe the best way I'd put it. I mean, I think Tyler probably is limited into, he's not going to be Brett Conway type of leg. You know, he's not going to be Sam Ficken's potential. But, I mean, man, consistent for his first year. If things don't work out, or the young guys aren't ready, or Joey Julius can't do it consistently, whatever, I mean, you can at least look at Tyler, I think, and say, okay, we get inside 35 yards, he's probably going to make it. Which, that's not going to lose them games. You know, I think if they have to go with Tyler Davis and they can only kick field goals 35 yards in, I don't think that's going to lose them games. I think punting is going to be – punting and how they cover – and return are going to be much more critical.
Right, exactly. Change the field position as to what, you know, how they're playing. Couple guys, Garrett Sickles and Evan Schwann, and then Torrence Brown. Penn State's had some really good pressure off the edge the last couple of years. What do you see in those three?
You know, somebody's going to have to step up and have a knack for getting a sack a game. You know, and I don't know which one of those. I mean, you would think, to me, I would look at Torrence Brown first as that guy. Even though he hasn't played as much as the other two, I would think his potential, what you hear about in his build, he's that type of, he has that type of ability. Now, can he stay healthy? Can he be consistent? I think, you know, Garrett has to be a leader. And maybe, like you mentioned all three of them. Maybe together, all three of them can kind of help get it done. Maybe they don't need a guy like Carl Nassib or somebody to put up tremendous numbers. Maybe as a group, those guys can get it done.
Jason Kabinda, of course, is there, and Kabinda's down 7 or 8 pounds. What kind of difference can that make? Because it looked like he got a little bigger as the season went along last year.
Yeah, I think, you know, quickness, you would hope, and, you know, he has more experience, so maybe he would just play quicker because he kind of knows where things are headed before they come to him.
Right.
And maybe that combined with a little bit of physical extra quickness, I mean, maybe he might be a guy to take a leap up. I mean, he's a great kid to talk to. I think he's one of the he's one of the most thoughtful guys in the interview room, so you know he's a smart guy, and he seems like he would translate that onto the field. So, you know, I just keep going back to, you need a, you know, do they have the linebacker that can stay healthy to make the big plays? Because right, that's what you were kind of alluding to almost a few minutes ago. Who is that guy at Penn State? Penn State needs that linebacker. I mean, Brandon Bell has shown that he can do it, but can he stay healthy enough to do it every game? I mean, I look back at the Northwestern game. Brandon Bell looked like he was going to have 8 tackles for loss in the game. He had like 3 in the first quarter. But he, you know, none after that. You know, is the guy, you know, with a big play, the guy can stay healthy or fight through injuries and not look like he's hurt? You know, who is that guy? Can Naeem be that guy? Can Brandon be that guy?
Frank, always a pleasure. It's always great talking with you. Thanks so much for sharing
today. Hey, I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks, Steve. Have a great rest of this one.
Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Well, the outstanding reporter. An outstanding perspective, as always. Just one of the really good guys out there. I have a lot of respect for Frank. Like him very much. We'll come back. We'll talk more Penn State football in a moment. I'll talk about a couple of guys where I think just a slight change in body type has made a difference for them as we come back with more in a moment. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Sunbury Motors has the cure for March sadness.
It's Ford Truck Month.
Sunbury Motors Ford has your truck. So avoid March sadness and don't miss these Truck Month deals. Choose from over 100 new F-150s with savings over 10 grand. F-150s start as low as $25,219. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck 39 consecutive years.
There's one sold every 42 seconds.
Pick from over 65 new 2016 Ford Escapes that take $3,750 off. And they start from just $20,490. Get 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2016 Escapes, Explorers, and Expeditions. And 2015 Edges and F-150s during SMC's March Truck Sale. Sunbury Motors is also the area's premier commercial truck center, stocking Super Duties like chassis cabs, crew cabs, dualies, and diesels. Avoid March sadness. Come get your truck at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Okay, more Penn State football talk. You see a transformation in younger players, not just in level, but also in body type as you go. Well, let me give you some interesting ones that I've seen that I think have made a big difference. Number one, let's talk about Jason Kabinda. Kabinda got himself into the 245, 246 range by the end of last season. And I'll be honest with you, I think at the end he may have been a little too heavy in the spot. I know that there's some tendency to think that if you're a middle linebacker, you've got to be a big guy. He's big enough. And he's got himself down to 237, and my goodness, it's made a difference. He's quicker. He's got that extra half step back that I think makes him a special player. I think it was a good move on his part, a good move on the strength training staff to get him back into the upper 230s, which I think is the better weight for him. Conversely, Manny Bowen needed more weight. Manny Bowen is probably the most explosive linebacker Penn State has. But Manny Bowen was about 200 pounds when he got here to training camp last year. He's now up about between 214 and 218 right now and hasn't lost any quickness. It's all muscle, and it's made a big difference with him. We know about the Kevin Givens transformation, which we've talked about many times. Givens is the kind of guy who had the frame to put the extra weight on, and he hasn't lost the quickness. What I like about Givens is that even though he's been so used to playing defensive end, he has pretty good low pad level when he's in there, and you need to do that to have leverage at that defensive tackle spot. That's important, and I think he's got that going for him at this time. And I think it's going to make him a good defensive tackle. It's a good move. Andrew Nelson. Andrew Nelson entered last year's practice in the summer at 311 pounds. That might be a little bit much for him. He's 299 now in the spring, and it looks good. It looks like it really has paid off for him. And I think him being at a little lighter weight, I think, is a big plus. Conversely, there's Paris Palmer. Palmer played the blue-white game last year at 278 pounds. Today, he's 302. And it's a 302 that is well-distributed along his body line, and he's been able to maintain the 302 since about mid-season last year. So the fact that he's maintained the weight has been a big plus for him because it's not holding or hindering him at any point. And then there's Andre Robinson. He's lost 7 pounds. I felt between the tackles last year, he could just get in there and he could pound away between the tackles and get 3, 4, 5 yards. This year, though, he's 7 pounds lighter, and now he's got jump. You should see he's got jump when he gets out of there. And he gets through that hole, and he attacks the hole. And that's made him a far more effective running back, in my opinion, especially in this system. And I think that that is, you know, when I look at some of the guys out there, that's what I've seen where I think a little reshaping body-wise has made a big difference for several players out there as they go through this particular camp. And I think you'll see the difference as well as you go through. I think you will definitely see the difference as well. And I think that'll be, it's just going to make them better players, it's going to make them a better team. And we mentioned Tyler Davis earlier. Tyler Davis has had a really good camp as the place kicker. Hey, I know he didn't miss a kick last year. I understand that. You know, at some point that's going to happen. How do you bounce back from that? But I think that he is he's rock solid and his range has improved. I know that that James Franklin's tried to put him in a variety of scenarios during the course of this spring, which is what he needs to, that's what he's going to need to be through all those scenarios. Hey, look, okay, game's on the line, 46-yarder, the whole deal. And he will. And then, you know, when Alex Barbier gets here, he'll have more, obviously, competition in camp. But he's put himself ahead because of what he's done to this point.
Steve, you had mentioned yesterday that Jack Ham's going to join you this weekend for Saturday. Now, is Saturday a structured scrimmage, and would they have that in Beaver Stadium?
I don't know. I don't think they're going to do that. Yeah, he's just showing. He's showing up not because it's a structured scrimmage. He's showing up because it's the first chance he's had to get out there. So I wouldn't read too much into it. He was thinking about coming today. They've gone through one scrimmage segment already, which they did on Friday. You're allowed a couple more, but one of them is the blue-white game. So I'm not so sure. They'll go today. They won't go again till Saturday. And I'm not sure yet what he wants to do, and I don't think Saturday's in the stadium. What they've done so far is interesting. I like what I see out there. There's a different cohesiveness out there that I think makes a big difference. And the quarterbacks have both been really good so far. Jake Zembeck hasn't done much, but the two quarterbacks, Trace McSorley and Tommy Stevens, I think both have done very well in this so far. The offense really fits them. I think they've thrown the ball really well, both with authority. I think it's obvious at the moment that McSorley is slightly ahead. But slightly ahead. In my opinion, they actually have a pretty good quarterback situation there, even though there is not a lot of game reps there. John Wehner next half hour. Dick Girardi on tomorrow's show to talk about the Final Four, as only he can. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sunbury Motors has the cure for March sadness.
It's Ford Truck Month.
Sunbury Motors Ford has your truck. So avoid March sadness and don't miss these Truck Month deals. Choose from over 100 new F-150s with savings over 10 grand. F-150s start as low as $25,219. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck 39 consecutive years.
There's one sold every 42 seconds.
Pick from over 65 new 2016 Ford Escapes and take $3,750 off. And they start from just $20,490. Get 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2016 Escapes, Explorers, and Expeditions. And 2015 Edges and F-150s during SMC's March Truck Sale. Sunbury Motors is also the area's premier commercial truck center, stocking Super Duties like chassis cabs, crew cabs, dualies, and diesels. Avoid March sadness. Come get your truck at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. It is Lakers prize rookie guard D'Angelo Russell. Lakers are obviously sputtering. The season can't end soon enough for them. But now Russell is being isolated. Sources told ESPN.com that some teammates' trust in Russell is eroding after a video surfaced in the past week that shows D'Angelo Russell recording a private conversation between himself and teammate Nick Young. Young does not appear to realize he is being taped. The video, which is believed to have come to light last week on a Twitter account of a celebrity gossip site, shows Russell filming Young while asking questions about Young being with other women. Young was engaged to Australian rapper Iggy Azalea last summer. While it's unclear how the video became public, sources say the resulting tension in the Lakers' locker room in recent days was among the factors that contributed to their absolutely poor showing in Salt Lake City, where they got blown out by 48 points by the Utah Jazz, the worst loss in franchise history. Various Lakers officials are aware of the issue. They are dismayed with Russell, but to this point, they have chosen not to intervene. Right now, one source said, they're handling it by isolating him. Austin Brown, D'Angelo Russell's agent from Creative Artists Agency, declined to comment when reached yesterday. Said one team insider, this was a prank gone wrong and a mistake by Russell, and he has to be held accountable, but I would hope he isn't overly criticized for it. The emergence of the video, sources said, has been the talk of the locker room for the past several days and has led to a tangible strain between Russell and some of his teammates. I'm stunned. At a recent breakfast meeting, one source said, no Laker would sit with Russell at his table. The source then added, in another instance, Russell came into the locker room, sat next to guard Lou Williams, who then got up and walked away. It's bad, said one team source, according to Ramona Shelburne. It's about as bad as it can get. There were trust issues already. Now there is no trust. In the video, Russell asked Young at one point, you was 30 and she was 19, referencing Young's age and the age of another woman that Young said that he had met at a nightclub. So what about Amber Rose, Russell later mentioned, mentioning another celebrity. No, she knows my girl, Young said in the recording. Later in the conversation, while apparently still recording, Russell's heard telling Young, I'm glad you told my video all that. Huh? Young says, turning his face toward Russell before the video cuts off. The Lakers have considered Russell to be a key part of their future after using the second overall pick in last year's draft to select him and raved about his superstar potential on the night they drafted him. Even Lakers coach Byron Scott, who's handling a Russell this year, has been scrutinized, came into the season speaking in the same breath as Lakers legend Magic Johnson when describing Russell's court vision. That's a little bit much. I saw Magic play. Obviously, I announced games where Russell played. That's a different. Okay. Russell started the Lakers' first 20 games before being moved to the bench, along with second-year forward Julius Randle. And Scott, on countless occasions this season, has publicly questioned Russell's maturity. He's such a kid, Scott said in February. I told him the other day, you're 19. Sometimes I think you're 14. Russell is averaging 13.1 points, 3.4 assists, 3.4 rebounds, and over 25.5 minutes in 72 games this season. Young hasn't played in 10 games and didn't travel with the team to Salt Lake City because of an intestinal problem. So, yes, D'Angelo Russell, our sports bozo of the day. Congratulations, D'Angelo. You've now gone into our sports bozo Hall of Fame. Again, I've pointed out many times on this segment that when we said we wanted to do this, well, are you sure you're going to be able to find enough people? We have options every day. Every day, we have options. All right. Baseball season is starting. The Phillies, of course, get rolling on Monday with Cincinnati. We'll have the opener for you Monday. 4:10 is the first pitch, so we'll have half of our show leading into that game on Monday, and then we'll have the full game for you with Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson and company. We're looking forward to it very much. The Pirates are going to actually open the season. They've got the St. Louis Cardinals. They're the opener for the season for Major League Baseball. John Wehner is one of the analysts for the Pirates Network on Root Sports. John, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
You know, it's like this every year. You know, you get into spring training, you look forward to the season starting, you get down here to beautiful Florida, and the weather has been awesome, with the exception of yesterday where we got a ton of rain but managed to get 5 innings in. But the last week or so of spring training, you just can't wait to get it over with. You can't wait for opening day, the pomp and circumstance of that. We're hoping for good weather Sunday in Pittsburgh, although the forecast doesn't look great. But, you know, they might not tell you the truth if you ask the Pirates players or coaches or Clint Hurdle, but they look forward to this. They look forward to the season starting. I mean, it's been a long, grueling spring training. A lot of hard work put in for those guys. But you know, I'm sure they can't wait to get up here and meet the Cardinals, play in front of a national audience on Sunday for the first time that I can remember. Maybe the first time ever. The Pirates opening up the baseball season Sunday at PNC Park.
Yeah, it's the first time I can ever remember that happening, where they're the first game right out of the gate. Do you sense the month was productive, that they really achieved even subtle goals along the way, so they're about as ready as they can be for this?
I believe so. You know, there was a bit of a setback, I think, from the get-go with Gerrit Cole not pitching out of the gate with the spring training game, so It looks as if he won't be starting until the first road series in Cincinnati. My guess is he'll start the first game in Cincinnati because he's going to pitch Saturday down here. But the with the exception of that, you always concern yourself with health, and you hope that you stay healthy through camp and have no major injuries. And there have been, other than Cole, you know, McCutchen was a late scratch over the weekend, as was Polanco Marte. Those guys have come out. Mercer came out of the game the other day. And so you just hope to avoid major injuries. You hope that these guys go out there and get their work. And the Pirates are at the point now where there's not much competition for jobs as much as it is just getting these guys ready. It appears as if everybody is healthy and ready to go. I just got the lineup a few minutes ago. Polanco is back in the lineup, which is a good sign because he hasn't played in the game since last week. McCutchen Marte also in the outfield. So, I think they got their work in. I think they've showed a little more urgency, although, you know, the fans might be a little disappointed with the record, but it's just spring training and the record is meaningless. You just want these guys to go out there, get their reps in, for pitchers, get their pitch count up, and most importantly, you stay healthy. And this team looks to be healthy. They look to be ready to go. It's a little bit of a different look offensively, not as much power, more on base type guys, but I still think the offense will be a strength. The pitching should be a strength. And so, I'm looking forward to hopefully another great year from the Pirates.
In that type of offense, though, base running has to be very good to make it all pay off. And you and I both know that there were certainly adventures last year. Have you sensed that is obviously we know it's been a priority. Have you sensed they've done a better job with base running, making decisions, how they get an extra base, when not to take an extra base?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's certainly been an emphasis this spring. And I mean, they've been overly aggressive base running this year. I mean, they have been thrown out stealing a bunch. There have been some mistakes in terms of guys getting picked off and a couple of times getting caught trying to get an extra bag. But that's kind of normal in spring training. I think you want to be more aggressive. I think especially for the new guys, I think Clint Hurdle and his coaches want to see who's, who they can take an extra base with, who they can steal a base with. And so I know the other day too, there was like a hit and run where the ball was in the dirt, a guy got thrown out. But I mean, the aggression will be toned down a little bit because the one thing you don't want, and I think was a bit of a weakness last year, was poor decision making on the bases and running into outs on the bases. When you don't have that three-run home run to lean on, because there will be fewer home runs hit, I think, this year, because you don't have that power. But you can't give the other team outs on the bases. And so I know they have worked on their base running and making smart decisions. And, I mean, you can coach these guys up all you want in terms of, base running and what you should and shouldn't do. But, you hope that their concentration level is to the point where, they know when is the right time to try to take an extra base and when is the right time to rein it back. And, this team will get on base. This team will create scoring opportunities. I do believe it's still going to be a strong offensive club. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up scoring more runs this year than last year, even though they won't hit for as much power. But base running is going to be key. It's going to be a different look lineup, whereas you're not going to have as much speed at the top. You'll have more speed at the bottom of the lineup. And so it's important to not make poor decisions, to make strong decisions to where, you're giving guys chances to drive you home. And so, it'll be interesting to see how this lineup works and how it looks with McCutchen batting second, John Jaso batting first for much of the season. That's what it looks like they're going to start out with anyhow. But I think it's a professional group that knows how to hit and should be productive.
John, what's been your thought on David Freese?
Oh, I think he's a great addition, a veteran guy that knows how to play the game, both offensively and defensively. And he adds some power, he adds experience. And until Jung Ho Gung is back, there was a big question mark as to who was going to play third. Are they going to move Harrison back to third? And if that were to be the case, who's playing second? I think Freese is a guy that throughout the year, even when Gunn comes back, he'll be a valuable bat off the bench. He's a guy, in case of injury, that you can throw out there at a couple of different positions, and you know he's going to be a professional and do the things necessary to win games. I think you lost some leadership, I think, last year with the retiring of Ramirez and A.J. Burnett and with Walker and Alvarez moving along, and I think, you know, that he's a guy that has obviously had success in the postseason and won World Series and won an MVP in the postseason, so that's invaluable to have a guy like that on your bench. And I think Freeze will not only be a good leader, but I think he's a guy that's still capable of producing and doing great things. So that was, I think that was a huge pickup from Neil Huntington.
There's a major reason why Florida and Arizona are the two locations to have spring training. The weather, 8 times out of 10, is gorgeous and it's warm. But the season openers are going to be where it's cold. You've lived this. You've done this. Was it an adjustment for you, John, to go from warm weather, playing in the field in warm weather, batting in warm weather, to now playing in the field in cold weather and batting in cold weather?
It's a huge adjustment. And I think, you know, guys have to go beyond it and not think about the weather and concentrate at the task at hand. Myself, growing up in Pittsburgh, I was playing in the cold water. I had no issues with it. Shoot, in my high school season, we almost always started out in snow flurries. So it's something that, you know, it was to be expected. But these guys that were brought up, I mean, McCutchen's from Florida. We have a lot of Latin American players that obviously aren't used to it. And I don't think they like it. I don't think they like playing in the cold where you could see your breath. And that's something they're not used to, unfortunately, that you only might have a handful, maybe a half a dozen games or so early in the season where it's that cold. And you hope to play deep enough into the postseason where it gets that cold again.
Right, exactly. But, that becomes a goal.
yeah, exactly. So, but it's mind over matter. I actually think you know, if you're smart, I mean, like for me, I would concentrate harder in the cold weather because I didn't want to hit the ball off the end of the bat. For off the end of the bat was the worst because your hands would sting. It's getting jammed, your hands would hurt, but if you hit it off the end of the bat when it was cold, your hands would sting for innings. I mean, it might take to your next at bat until you get the feeling back in your fingertips. Yeah. So you really would bear down to try to really center the ball and hit the ball off the barrel of the bat and not swing at bad pitches. And if you don't do that, you can end up looking bad and you know, feeling the effects. And to where, you know, defensively, you don't feel the ball because your fingers are a little bit numb. As a pitcher, I think it's a little bit easier for a pitcher. I think you'd be more aggressive as a pitcher. Even though they'll say that the balls get a little slick at times, but I think pitchers have a huge advantage in those situations. And Liriano starting opening day, I don't remember him being a big fan of the cold weather, but he's a big, tough kid that's a veteran and knows how to get it done. And so, but it is an adjustment, especially for the warm weather guys.
John, always a pleasure. Great respect for your work, and have a great season.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the time, and hopefully we'll have another good one here for the Pirates. And again, we'll be playing in the cold weather in the end of October.
That's John Wehner from the Pirates Network. And we appreciate all the Pirates announcers who have carved out time for us during spring training. Larry Anderson from the Phillies for carving out time for us during spring training as we get everybody ready for the upcoming season. And it's right here. The Final Four may be taking place Saturday with the championship game Monday. The women's Final Four Sunday into Tuesday. Major League Baseball begins its long odyssey on Sunday. And the Pirates will take on the St. Louis Cardinals in the feature game, and the Phillies get the Cincinnati Reds at Great America Ballpark on Monday at 4:10, which we'll have for you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State football back to work today. The Nittany Lions will have practice. This is practice number 7 to this stage. James Franklin will meet with the media after practice today. The media will get a chance to see the last 10-12 minutes of practice today, somewhere in that neighborhood. and take a look at it. People have talked about the pace with which Penn State has played with. Again, the media's only had, and I thought Greg Pickle on yesterday's show phrased it correctly. He said, look, we've only had the one exposure, and we saw how quickly they were moving. It's like, wow, okay, that's quick. But this is really going to be varying tempos as to how they play this. Yeah, they're going to get back to the huddle quickly, get to the line of scrimmage quickly, but that doesn't mean there'll be times where they'll get to the line of scrimmage and boom, they'll go. And there'll be times that they'll get to the line of scrimmage and they're going to read it a little bit and make a couple of decisions. It's not always going to be the same pace and the same tempo. It is not, you know, Doug from Wellsboro called the show last week and said, I know you don't like Baylor's offense, which I don't. I don't find Baylor's offense entertaining. It's I think Baylor's offense is perfect for Baylor winning games. Let's start with that. That's perfect for Baylor winning games. As a fan, when I watch, I don't enjoy watching Baylor play offense because you want to give yourself at times a little bit of time to process what's going on. Penn State is not playing Baylor's offense. They are not. There are varying tempos to this offense, and that's, I'm glad Doug asked that question because it was a great question he asked. I was glad to be able to answer it for him as to what they're doing. I mean, like, there will be times where they'll go quickly. There'll be times where they won't. It'll sometimes look the same, but and when I mean look the same, in terms of like getting to the line of scrimmage quickly, and then you'll say, oh, okay, wait a minute, okay, they're not ready to snap it yet. And that app, you know, and you'll see that. The fans will get a chance to see that. And now, how much of that you get a chance to see in the blue-white game, I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's, James Franklin's always been a multiple-tempo guy to begin with anyway. There are times where you do need to, you know, go quickly. There are other times you need to go quickly to just keep them off balance. There are times you need to slow it down because the game dictates you need to slow it down. So he has always been a varying tempo coach to begin with, and this matches what he wants to do in terms of varying tempo. They're just doing it in a different way with the personnel they have. And the offense does fit the personnel very, very well. It fits the quarterbacks really well. Wideouts, no problem. Saquon Barkley really likes running in this offense, and Barkley's had himself a great spring to this point. He's had a good spring. He's had a great spring to this point. Now, so is Andre Robinson. He's had a very good spring. You know, but Andre Robinson looks like a better product today than he did last season. He's 7 pounds lighter, and it shows. And then Mark Allen has been a good third back for them so far. All right, so that wraps things up for today. Well, looking forward to it tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. I think they're going to let us back in the building, right? Yeah. Yeah, we look forward to it. We will talk to you tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.